What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Yala, your thrice weekly podcast where we talk about the hottest news with a touch of what, Terrence?
Good old humor.
Good old humor, man.
Yeah.
How was your weekend, man?
Welcome to Taylor Swift week.
Taylor Swift.
That's what it was. I mean, Jackie, the comedian, when he was on, he wasn't even, I thought he was kidding, but it's real. You walk around malls and everywhere, they're playing Taylor Swift songs.
Yeah, they are.
So no more Chinese New Year songs. Now it's all Taylor Swift songs.
The only mall I went to over the weekend was MBS, and they were playing it in the toilet and the restrooms. But I don't know, other malls as well? Do you go to other malls?
Other malls, yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, in town, Orchard, yeah.
Walao eh.
So it's true, man. It's Taylor Swift week in Singapore. Welcome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How any, if not for the music, did you feel like Singapore is different? Or?
Actually, the surprising thing is, I think because a lot of people are at the stadium, even those who are not like in the stadium, there are people congregating outside the stadium and all. It feels like a lot of places that are usually packed for like dinner and all were actually more empty over the weekend. If you're away from the whole east side of Singapore,
I went to dinner at Raffles City on Saturday night, and it felt emptier.
Mm.
But then, how many people? 60,000 people in the stadium, right? Mm. But they also have a lot of people flown in.
Yes,
sure, people are around outside and all, but there can't be such a monumental impact. Right?
But there were, we were talking to people who said they were literally going to stay away from going out or going to crowded places.
Oh, okay. Right? Okay.
So I think maybe everyone's like, it's a bit like F1. You would know, don't go to town during F1 because you get caught in a jam and all. So maybe that's what's going on.
This effect. I think.
Like people who don't have the energy to go to Taylor Swift, they lock themselves at home even more, right?
Yeah, because I got on a train with my wife to head to Raffles City, and going past stadium, from where we were to stadium is fucking packed.
Oh, is it?
It's packed. The moment stadium opens, it's like, whoa.
People going in or going out? Or
getting out of the train to stadium.
Out to stadium, yeah. That's right.
Yeah. So if you have to take a longer journey, then you're going to go past stadium, you're going to have to deal with a lot of that.
Yeah. There's something in the air, right? You feel it, this Taylor Swift effect, right?
Yeah, I guess. Because it's everywhere on social media.
Yeah.
You open up your YouTube homepage, so everybody's got so many videos on it.
Mm.
I won't deny that I'm getting a bit annoyed by it.
Sour grapes, sour grapes.
No, I don't know whether it's sour grapes. I don't know whether it's just past the point when it's become so popular that it's annoying now.
Mm.
For me,
Yeah, that's basically Coldplay, for everyone else who didn't go Coldplay.
No. Coldplay, it pales in comparison to this Taylor Swift mania. Yeah.
It's manic.
It's manic. Coldplay objectively was really crazy, but this one is next level, man.
Yeah. Have you seen those videos of the Swifties, the costumes that they were wearing to the concert and all? Because if you go to Straits Times or CNA YouTube channel, they interviewed these people there were people who have prepared costumes from 6 months ago that they're here, dressed in a certain theme from a certain Taylor Swift album. And they came with their mother and both of them are dressed.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone did that for Coldplay, right?
No, I saw them on a train. They were all, a lot of people were dressed up.
You mean you didn't dress up as Chris Martin?
Oh, you mean Rainbow Coldplay? Coldplay. Yes. I mean, Coldplay, for Chris Martin, you just wear t-shirt and jeans. And a belt.
You must have some armband to show your climate, change.
And some handkerchiefs coming out of your pocket or something like that.
Something like that.
Taylor Swift is insane. Mm-hmm. Last night, my wife flew us, so we were at the airport late. There were people who came straight from the concert to the airport.
Oh, really?
So they were shimmering and checking in.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty epic, right?
It's epic, yeah. So I guess for them, they just come for the weekend, go Taylor Swift, and then after that, fly back, save a night of hotel stay.
Yeah. And actually this is a lot to do with what we're discussing on our first topic today. So we can go further into
We can save a bit more for that.
But how do you feel about not going to the Taylor Swift concert?
Okay.
FOMO?
No FOMO.
Why, I thought you were saying that you would have wanted.
If I had tickets or I had access to tickets, I would have gone. Just to participate in the phenomenon of it.
Yeah.
Or just be there, I was there. Because it's like a history in the making. But I did not feel FOMO at all.
Even the Blackpink that
Lisa.
The girl from, she's in town for Taylor Swift, right?
Yeah, the TikTok CEO was apparently there.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. Wow.
I think some Korean singer or something was there also.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, people are just flying in.
The who's who of Singapore.
Who's who of Singapore.
Of the region, actually. Not even Singapore. Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, so actually we can carry on more talking about that. Anything anything to plug before we start?
As always, if you're new to this podcast and you're looking for some counter-programming to all the Taylor Swift stuff going out there, we're here to talk about more serious stuff like called current affairs. But we can't promise you that we're not going to talk about Taylor Swift. But yes, if you do like this kind of thing, please do remember to subscribe or follow. Or yeah, just make sure that you do something to show your support for this channel, even if it's just tell one person about it.
Yeah, and if you want to work with us as a brand, as a intern, as an employee, just reach out to us at contact@ministryoffunny.com.
Yeah.
Sweet. Okay, now back to Taylor Swift. Back to Taylor Swift.
Can't get away from it, man.
Can't get away from it, man.
Yeah, yeah.
And I mean, we are hot off the press or something that is literally or that was discussed like an hour plus ago in Parliament, courtesy of Edwin Tong, who is now like fucking walking around Singapore, just rocking out, man.
Yeah, he's essentially taken over what Iswaran's role was, right, previously.
Yeah.
Where Iswaran was like the guy who brought F1 to Singapore, or so he says, like, right, you know, so it's claimed. But now Edwin Tong's the guy who brought Taylor Swift to Singapore.
Wow, Edwin Tong. Yeah. Tong brought Tay-Tay to Singapore.
This is like his victory lap, really. He's like just enjoying it. Oh, you want to talk about it in Parliament? Sure.
Yeah, exactly. But you see, he got swagger now, man. And I mean, F1 was always one of those like appeal more to adults kind of thing, you know, a certain section of society. Whereas Taylor Swift is like all encompassing, man.
Yeah, all ages.
Yeah. So the reason why also he talked about it in Parliament is because over the past few weeks, which we also covered, I think February 20th was when the Thai Prime Minister like alluded to Singapore giving the Taylor Swift team grants to bring them to Singapore and also that there might be some exclusivity involved. So then like STB, MCCY came out and said, yeah, there were grants and all. And then Edwin Tong started giving some video interviews last week to Straits Times, CNA, talking about their overall approach. And this Monday, he went through the detailed approach and also the rationale for doing so. And also fielded some questions from some other MPs.
Yes.
Yeah, but in general, at a very high level, what he said is that when CASM, which is the Kallang Active Sports Management, which was an organization that was established in December 2022 after the government took back the management of the sports hub from a private company, they actually went out to look for potential performers to come to Singapore.
Yeah.
One of whom was Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
And I think it was 2023 itself when according to Edwin Tong, the opportunity came up to talk to the team. He flew to LA and he met with her team and they started negotiations to bring her to Singapore. And at first it was 3 nights only. And then they tried to negotiate her coming to Singapore at the end of a leg of tour so she can stay longer.
Yeah.
And then, 3 nights sold out, they increased it to 6 and feels like it was a very thought out process. Yeah. Like
way in advance, they started planning.
Yeah, way in advance. And one thing he did say is that they are not just going to be a passive entertainment venue where they wait for inquiries. They're going to go out and look to bring people.
And
he used the word hustle like 17 times in the video interviews.
It seemed like a multi-pronged effort, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the idea of like going to LA to go and like have meetings and find people, that probably is, I think it's quite a step above like what you would imagine a venue would do, right? Like a stage, or I mean, someone who's operating a theater or something, they wouldn't usually go out of their way to travel and try and court people to come.
Actually, I don't know. Maybe they do, and maybe it's something were not doing it.
But I'm sure the impetus was also because of the government essentially taking over management of the sports hub, right? And needing to sort of make up for the rather lackluster years that they had before. And so this happened in 2022, like in the midst of...
They established CASM December 2022.
Yeah. And it's fast, yeah? You consider it's only like a year plus since then.
Yeah.
It's actually, considering what they've brought in, Coldplay, Taylor Swift,
Ed Sheeran, Bruno Mars
coming up. You know, it's quite a lot of big names coming in. So Yeah, I think all eyes are on this chasm, like you, so like what you, how you pronounce it, like,
yeah.
KASM, right?
KASM, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, impressive, to say the least, yeah.
That, but on the flip side, like, so some of the questions fielded by the MPs, Gerald Giam from WP, asked whether it may have been possible if the grants were not given for Taylor Swift to come.
Yeah.
And then also about, along the lines of, like, whether or not it makes sense to pay taxpayers' money. And then another NMP asked about, you know, having more local acts, like how Coldplay did.
Yeah.
And also whether the government will be taking action for the breach of confidentiality, which is assumed in the agreements, because it was a promoter, someone from the AEG, right?
Yeah.
That leaked it, apparently, to the Prime Minister of Thailand.
Yeah.
So, Erin Tong said they will look into it. And then about endeavouring to have local acts perform, he said it's largely dependent on the terms set out by the artist, so sometimes they can't negotiate. And then whether the grant money is makes sense, I mean, he was talking about the overall effect and the grants apparently, and this one I think CNA they said from what they understand the total amount is 2 to 3 million in total.
Yeah, for all six.
As opposed to what was implied by the Thai Prime Minister, that is 2 to 3 million US each. Per show.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's fresh off Parliament. Like, as you were seeing all this unfold, reading up on the news, and all was going through your mind?
There was also that I think, the diplomat ambassador, or at least... The Filipino, I think... Some people in the Filipino legislature, they were saying that there should be some action taken, even if it's just to reprimand or at least call up the Singapore ambassador to the Philippines for questioning or something, right?
Yeah.
From my understanding, that's how they officially register their unhappiness with issues, with another country, by calling up the ambassador to come and have coffee together and all that. So they're saying that, it was... I think specifically the name of the politician was Joey Salceda, who essentially has, he officially registered that his unhappiness with it, and he says that the Philippines should call up the Singapore ambassador.
The Philippines Department of Foreign Affairs.
Yes, correct. And then Bilahari Kausikan, who you know as a diplomat, right? Singapore's one of Singapore's top diplomats, just said did a Facebook post about that saying sour grapes, right? And TLDR saying that, basically it's a, what do you expect Singapore to do? Just hold back and let other people and let other people take the deal, and can't help it if our neighbors are slow, right? And everything. So yeah, he just pretty much basically called them out for just having sour grapes, eating sour grapes, So a lot of things have, it's like a very, the crazy thing is how international this news has become, right?
Yeah.
It's not just a Straits Times or Mothership thing. BBC is covering it. South China Morning Post is covering it and all. And about how, some of our Southeast Asian neighbors are unhappy about what has transpired between Taylor Swift and Singapore. So what do you think about all the hoo-ha about this?
I mean, one thing that Salceda brought up is that it's not in the spirit of ASEAN, where we work together as a region.
Yeah.
And ensure the rising tide lifts all boats.
Yeah, yeah.
Or some shit like that. But at the same time, I mean, as much as I think we've been critical of certain things, Edwin Tong have said in the past especially during the Committee of Privileges when there was an inquiry for Pritam and Raisa Khan. The one thing he said in an interview, he kind of flipped it. He said, what you think about a case where we didn't manage to get Taylor Swift to Singapore, what would the questions be then? How come you didn't do all you can to get Taylor Swift?
Yeah.
So, they were just thinking about it in the best interest of Singapore. So, if you ask me what I feel, I'm like, actually, it's genius. And I actually think they did a damn good job bringing it. Even though, I feel like, six shows Taylor Swift, I'm like, come on, come on. I think overall, it's a good thing.
But, just on that, if we ever wanted to host, let's say the World Cup or something like that, there's no way you could do the whole World Cup in Singapore. We're too small, we don't have the facilities. We don't have enough stadiums, that's for sure. If anything, it would have to be some joint bid with a neighbor or a couple of neighbors together. So wouldn't doing stuff like that where we basically just basically increase or emphasize the competition for world-class shows with our neighbors, wouldn't that, you know, rub them the wrong way and make them never want to, like, you know, bid together with you or do business together with you like that? Then we'll never ever see a World Cup like in the region because of that.
Terrence, simple. Just use the magic of grants.
To do what?
Just give grants to all the other countries, Malaysia, yeah. Indonesia, and then we bid together. Because, I mean, that one also, yeah, on one hand, it feels like, oh, you know, we're all in this together. But you never know, like governments change, politicians change. And I feel there's always a way to make it in the country's best interest to pitch together.
Yeah.
And that requires something. And in some way, okay, let's say we are with other podcasters and all, right?
Yeah.
If some podcaster managed to get like Taylor Swift on their podcast and give a grant and say you don't go on any other Singapore podcast.
Yeah.
Of course, I'll be fucking pissed.
Yeah.
But would that rule me out from potentially thinking, okay, what can we offer that podcaster to potentially bring like someone else together or something? So I think, I mean, all this is part like, yes, commercial, yes, but also it's just a game.
Yeah.
But for you?
I think there's a lot of fixation on the money that we gave as a grant to Taylor Swift. But the truth is, like, I think we did a back envelope calculations. There's really not a lot, right? Considering how much you can earn per concert.
Yeah.
But the key thing to remember is that, yeah, she brings multiples of that to your economy.
Yeah,
Look at our Hotel 81 prices over the weekend. I think all these young people looking for a one night or 2 hours stay at Hotel 81 couldn't get it. Yeah.
Cannot.
So yeah, you know, there are real spillover effects to the economy, right? And it's very well documented, not even in like local media, but international media about the Taylor Swift effect on economies. We're very fixated on the numbers, but don't forget there's also the infrastructure thing that makes Singapore like a much more attractive destination for concerts. And I think this is something I did read online, that some people who anecdotally had gone to Coldplay concert in Thailand were complaining that it reeked of like the smell of weed. In the audience. Yeah. So don't forget, yeah, Thailand just announced that they are going to start to clamp down on recreational marijuana use by the end of the year. You know, after opening the doors for everything, they seem to want to come back and close it again. So yeah, there is that, and you look at the demographic of people. You go open up the you know, Channel News Asia YouTube page or what, you go and see there's videos of the people who are hanging out outside the concert. Remember we mentioned that there are those people who are paying for the concert?
Yeah.
There's a lot of people hanging out outside. And you look at the demographics of those people, they're all between the ages of 12 to like 18, you know? So these are the people who will be attending the concert or are in the vicinity of people attending concerts. So can you imagine like that situation, the Coldplay concert with like, you know, smelling of marijuana and everybody getting high and smoking and drinking all that, mixed in with this group of young kids who are, you know, look up to Taylor Swift and want to just have a clean night out.
Yeah.
Doesn't gel together, right? And if I was Taylor Swift, big boots to live in. But if I was Taylor Swift and if I had a choice of where to put a concert and the kind of environment that would be created for my fans to enjoy the concert, I think Singapore in general would be a much safer place, and my fans would be less exposed to vices like that. Not saying that you know, just because there's marijuana use in Thailand means that it's worse or what. It's just that it's not age appropriate. You know, I think that's the theme of a lot of what we're discussing these days, right? That stuff is not age appropriate, right?
Mm.
Yeah. So I think that's one thing that people forget, that we were that Singapore is an attractive destination, not just because of the money or so. There's a lot of other things.
Even if it's 2 to 3 million a show, it still makes more financial sense to do it in multiple locations in Asia.
Yeah.
Which is why I find it so weird that there's so little being spoken about Taylor Swift and her team making the decision to come to Singapore.
Because
there's a lot of, especially when you see Time and BBC, they just ever really do shit on Singapore. Time is an article, look what Taylor Swift exclusive Singapore shows made its Southeast Asian neighbors do. And then another one is like trying to be poetic with bad blood over Singapore Taylor Swift era's tour subsidies and just saying that, you know, like what, there's one line, you know, they quoted, I think, yeah, like a business professor. And I mean, generally the theme of the article, you know, in a way, Singapore has just brought in Swift the same way it currently attracts huge multinational corporations. What's different here is that Taylor Swift as a business is a very emotional business. It's dealing with the emotions of 10 to 18 year olds who are very sad to not see the concert happening in Bangkok or Jakarta. Why is Taylor Swift and her team not being held accountable? They're making it seem like we put out, like the our government put out these grants and all that, and it is the sole thing that changed Taylor Swift's decision. When you write an article like this, almost you're making it seem like, oh, we are treating Taylor Swift as a business and not understanding the emotional business. It's her choice. It's her team's choice.
Yeah.
But there's very few articles or anything talking about, you know, you as a performer, don't you want to perform to all your fans in their home countries?
Yeah.
But you made the choice to come.
Yeah.
Very few things being spoken about. It was their choice after all.
Correct. But Taylor Swift now, I mean, she's not just, you know, singer-songwriter Taylor Swift really.
She's a machine.
She's a cultural phenomenon. Literally people tracking her private jet movements everywhere. So somebody also alerted us to, like, I think maybe 12 years ago or something like that, the first time Taylor Swift was touring in Singapore, she actually did like a vlog, you know. You know, there's a vlog of her time in Singapore, you know, online. And so you can really see a sort of evolution of this Taylor Swift, like who she is as an artist and everything. And you look at her now, you know, the $50,000 VIP packages at Marina Bay Sands and all that. You can imagine that a lot of these things are probably, these decisions are probably out of her hands already, you know. Like as much as even she wants to, for certain reasons, like for security, for safety reasons, for all these things that, because she's such a global icon, right? I think there's bigger considerations really, you know, like security and all these things that they can't risk having her, like, you know, something happen to her, whether it's a terrorist attack or anything like that, right? There's probably, the insurance company probably wouldn't want to cover it and all that, right? So there are things that I think that even beyond just money also have become like major considerations for her since, because of who she is also.
But I'm surprised, and I think it's a very well-oiled machine. Because I can totally imagine that in other instances, you know, fans come out, the artist might put out a statement.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, just explain. But nothing from Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
And it's almost, she's too big to question already.
Yeah.
And if all fault lies in the other players.
Yeah.
So maybe that's why I'm getting annoyed with the whole thing.
The other thing is also, have you heard anything about people seeing her at hawker center or anything like that on social media?
No, never.
All I've heard is that she came in a private jet, was whisked away to Sentosa for something. I don't know where she's living and all that.
Hey, but according to her, she spent a lot of time in Singapore when her mom was growing up here.
Hard to verify also, right?
Yeah,
Not saying she's lying, but hard to verify, right? People finding, maybe it's a bit of a stretch, like trying to find a very tenuous link between herself and the region. Right?
It's like when you hear politicians say they grew up in the kampong, then that's why I can relate to you.
Yeah, exactly.
So I don't know, maybe I'm just being a Grinch. I'm like, okay, this is a bit much.
Yeah.
But it might be the norm for us to expect. Like every year, there'll be a few people who come and do some residencies in Singapore.
But even down to like her performance, right? I don't know, maybe I have been on social media, but I haven't seen any I'm really connecting with the local community kind of vibes in her concert.
Where's for Coldplay?
Coldplay had the someone's father has cancer, the kind of thing, then they come on and sing and things like that, right? And Ed Sheeran had JJ Lin come on, you know, he had JJ Lin come on. And I was at the concert and he was like, oh, you know, what, you know, and he was saying terima kasih and stuff like that also.
And then he highlighted a watch brand in Singapore.
Yeah. He worked at the watch brand locally. And
Coldplay had local acts.
Coldplay had local acts. Yes. That's probably the biggest thing you can do for the local industry. So yeah, there's a higher level of engagement from even just these recent concerts with local community than Taylor Swift has. In some ways, I felt like Taylor Swift is she's almost like this too big to even like engage with like all these little issues that people are having.
And the fans will almost never question.
They won't question.
Which all is like, it's too squeaky clean already. Too squeaky clean. Especially when she said the Singapore thing, I'm like, huh, is it? Of course, there's no way to verify. I mean, the fact that she did a vlog on the first one, that's quite endearing. Yeah, you know?
Endearing.
But yeah. So for you, like, must have hawkers. And at least Ed Sheeran did Teh Tarik, right?
Did he do?
Yeah, he did.
Oh, I don't
he
know.
He went to a Teh Tarik shop in Arab Street.
He did explicitly say during concert, okay, I'm going to eat local food for my birthday or something like that. So then, it seemed like he'd spoken to people who are, you know, from here, and he's like, okay, what do people here like to talk about and all that.
Yeah, Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift just feels like, okay, yeah, she's engaging her fans. Yes, she gave a hat. Something called 22 hat. Yeah. What was that? Why is it called 22 hat?
I have no idea. And maybe that's the problem. Now we're not Swifties. Yeah.
We're not. Hey, but it's not fair. I mean, I'm not like the biggest Ed Sheeran fan, but I know his songs.
No. I'm saying like you know, our general kind of like seemingly like, what is it, negative perception, but fatigue, Taylor Swift fatigue. Maybe it's because we're not Swifties. Maybe we don't understand the phenomenon.
Yeah. Sour grapes.
Do you wish you went for the concert?
I do. I still do wish I can go for the concert. Because, it is, like I said, it feels like the last time there was something like that was Coldplay, and then before that was basically the vaccination. You just walk around, everybody you meet, you're like, hey, you're going to watch Taylor Swift. Like, hey, you know anyone going to watch Taylor Swift? Oh, when's your turn? Oh, next year. Okay. I remember to bring this, remember to do that. I remember to drink a lot of water. You know, that's the kind of shit they were saying to each other before the vaccination and all that, right?
Yeah.
So, there's this sense of collective energy that you only get for this kind of big event.
So you're enjoying it?
I'm enjoying it, yeah. It's something to talk about. Everyone has a different opinion about it. Everyone knows someone who knows someone who did something crazy to get tickets to the concert or is doing something crazy at the concert. So it's quite funny, you know, like that.
Apparently a lot of proposals also.
Proposals, yeah. People worked up in a frenzy about this.
Yeah.
I was just walking around Tiong Bahru yesterday and I see, a bunch of people sitting outside the Hotel 81 there who like dressed to the nines, you know, like shimmery dresses and all.
Is it?
Probably waiting to get on a car to go watch Taylor Swift. I saw that. Everywhere you walk around, I see a mother and daughter wearing shimmery dresses. I know, they must be going to Taylor Swift concert, you know? So there's this thing in the air. That's why I say it's like Taylor Swift week.
It's like the World Cup almost, right?
Yeah.
And so then why you saw such a Grinch, Terrence?
When was I a Grinch about it? Very positive about
it. No, but you're saying, you know, she's too big to fail, the fans never question. Or that was not Grinchy, it was me, is it?
No, I'm just pointing out. But it's true, objectively. Yeah. You went to Coldplay, I went to Ed Sheeran.
Yeah.
And we all felt that, there's some engagement with the, you know, local acts, local industry, local whatever. Whereas for Taylor Swift, I haven't seen or felt that much, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Swifties might,
they'd be like Terrence, jumping out. You're talking about?
Yeah. She has descended upon us like an angel from heaven, and here you are bitching about how she never eat, how she never go and drink Teh Tarik.
So then, I mean, the one thing also Edwin Tong did point out, which I thought in some way quite strategic thinking. What he was saying is that, by bringing these A-listers, it's not just about the commercials, the increase to the economic output and all, but just getting into the minds of Singaporeans that Sports Hub is an entertainment hub, which I think is great. You know, just knowing that, at any point in time, there's going to be some cool shit happening there.
Yeah.
Then even the retailers out there, it all becomes it makes more sense to think about going there, to think about starting a business around there, because every few months there'll be stuff like this happening. And then he also pointed out, which, I mean, I assume it has to be accurate, that part of the proceeds of the commercials are also channeled back into supporting local sports. Apparently last year there were 60 sports finals held at the Sports Hub.
Yeah.
And one example was that after the rugby sevens, the rugby sevens ended on Monday or Tuesday, the national school rugby championships were played there.
Oh, wow.
So it's like the pitch just came off a world-class event.
Yeah.
And you get schoolboys to go and play there. It's amazing, you know.
So after Taylor Swift concert, who's going to perform there?
I don't know.
You want to be able to walk the ground that Taylor Swift walked on.
But you know, just the people getting familiar. Come out of Stadium MRT, I walk here, I go this exit. When I got out the train from Stadium to go into Coldplay, I was like, hey, actually this is quite near, you know?
Yeah.
It's very convenient. Simple. You go in, and when there's that familiarity there, it feels like, okay lah, which I think is damn cool.
And I've always, as a young parent, or at least parent of a young toddler, the Kallang area actually has a lot to offer for families, free or / cheap entertainment for families around there.
Yeah.
But a lot of people didn't know about it before.
Yeah.
I think now maybe a bit more, but back then, before before this buzz about the Sports Hub, yeah, a lot of people didn't know, man.
So then are you kind of excited about the future of Singapore just continuously bringing A-listers coming 5-6 day residencies and stuff like that?
I think so, yeah. I think we should be going for exactly what you're saying, residencies, right?
Mm.
Like how they have in Vegas. Because I don't think... Like Vegas is... For example, have you been to Vegas in the US before?
Yeah.
You have, right? And it's not exactly like a very beautiful place to visit, I would say. You go there, it's quite strictly for entertainment / maybe work or something. You have a work trip or something there. But there's a lot of entertainment options for you if you're interested, right?
Mm.
And there are stars that, you know, Adele, Celine Dion, I think even like John Mayer might be going there for some residency. But anyway, my point is, yeah, these acts become the attraction, right? That's why people go there. They don't go there for scenery. They don't go there for sightseeing or anything like that. But it draws people and then they see other things and then they explore other things. So in some ways, Singapore, we don't have those natural resources to draw people in, tourists in naturally. And we'll have to rely on things like that to pull them in. And a lot more mainstream things than F1, to be honest. Yeah, to be perfectly frank. Yeah, F1 is really not in that kind of mainstream consciousness.
And I mean, I think it's super cool. And I think it's easy to just Singapore's becoming just like there's a new generation casino.
Basically you. That's what you're saying. That's what you've been saying.
I won't deny part of me is like, ugh. But then the more I think about it, the more I realize that, you know, there's one thing about, you know, companies setting up HQs here in Singapore. Mm, mm. But for us being in media and in some way entertainment, right?
Yeah.
Like, imagine if we get more and more stars coming through Singapore. It really becomes like a stop. It would be great to... Now it almost feels like, maybe we can get one of these people on our podcast.
Mm, 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 mm.
Especially if they're spending a longer period of time.
Exactly.
If they fly in, do one show, fuck off. It's going to be damn hard.
Yeah.
But now we're like, what's Taylor Swift doing those 2 days between the three shows?
Yeah.
You know, what's she doing?
Yeah.
So then if it becomes a thing, then it feels like it's, and if as a media personality or podcaster, you interact with these people, there's so much to learn. And then you see how like a mature artist performs from an industry that is also more mature. There's so much to learn. So it's a cool thing. It's a cool thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of like when we went to LA to do a writer's room there.
Yeah.
We completely, kind of self-funded it ourselves, right? But I think we really enjoyed the process, right? Even just being in an environment where you meet people who are very excited about the creative industry, excited about what you're doing for the creative industry, what projects you're up to. And don't blink an eye when you say that, we hope to do a TV show or a feature film about this. And they're like, oh, okay, that's cool. Me too. You know, I also have these plans, you know.
Mm.
Whereas over here, it's like,
what?
How do you make money?
Yeah, like, right.
Really, man? The industry here got future, man. You know, that kind of thing. And after a while, even if you're the most resilient personality, it gets very grating after a while to not just only have to endure the questions, but also have to try and justify the reason for your existence, right?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So, I'm with you, that the them being here, them even like bestowing upon certain Singapore artists like Jasmine Sokko or Riley a chance to, you know, walk in my shoes for like 20 minutes, you know, Ed Sheeran featuring a local high-end watch brand that otherwise we would never even have known of its existence, right?
Yeah.
Even as non-watch collectors, it's just cool to know that there's Singapore brands like that doing stuff like that.
Yeah.
I think that's great, you know?
And
we don't have to... Yeah, it makes it easier for us to export stuff out there when we know that the local industry also... there's a lot of... There's a whole vibe and buzz going on about it.
Yeah, and it just opens your eyes. When Jasmine Sokko performed, she said that was the best week of her life. You know, like 3 nights performing in front of 60,000 people.
Yeah.
How insane is that, man?
Yeah. And you enjoyed it, right?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. Back to our goal, we need to get some A-lister on our podcast.
Correct. Yeah.
And we also started thinking about this more when we saw that watch brand. That they're like, hey, fuck, they can get a shout out from Ed Sheeran. Why can't we aspire to get someone big on our podcast?
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah. So it just opens your mind.
Yeah. But Haresh, why you always need foreigner to validate you? Then you happy. Can't you just be happy with who you are as a person?
Cannot.
You neo-colonial mindset. Like,
cannot. Cannot. We are a small country, Terrence.
Price takers.
We have no natural resource.
Price takers, right?
We're, since young, we're told we've got no natural resource. We need to depend on other people.
Yeah.
And now we are depending on other people.
Residencies, like residencies. That would be awesome. Like maybe if like every year Taylor Swift comes right, for like 1 week, right? Just does a residency here. That'll be great. Then she buys a GCB somewhere.
Yeah.
You know that's where Taylor Swift lives, right? Wouldn't that be crazy? Yeah.
It would, man. They can have like Stars Avenue, like not the actual road at MediaCorp now, like literally like a place where all the big stars live.
Like Beverly Hills kind of.
Yeah. Because in LA, you get those celebrity home tours. Or you just go past their houses, which is fucking weird.
In Singapore, you can. Just go to all the GCBs. You know that it's owned by somebody important.
No, it's Money Launderer. Money Launderer, TikTok CEO, Money Launderer.
Secret Lab founder. And then, there's this. Yeah, this house is very big, but it's tenanted to a minister. It's not.
Correct. So you get a full mix. You get a range of tenants.
I tell you what, owners. That's, you know, after Yalabat 500, our Trishaw episode comes out. Our next thing is we do a tour of all the Trishaw.
In
all
a
the GCBs. Yeah. The GCB tour.
The GCB tour.
Check out all the GCBs and Trishaws.
Oh, I love it. That would be great, man.
Yeah.
Great. But yeah, I mean, kudos. Kudos to Edwin Tong and his team, man.
Yeah.
Kudos.
So yeah, you know, we've just been talking about people coming to Singapore who are able to, you know, buy GCBs and live very comfortable lives, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there's a whole other group of people in Singapore who are doing very important things for the population here also. Who are, you know, we're debating about whether they are being compensated fairly, right?
Mm.
And what is this? Who are this group of people?
It is NS men. Because in the same parliamentary, last week's parliamentary session, there was a question by Gerald Giam of the Workers' Party that kind of like talked about how the NS allowance should be reclassified as NS salary, and it should also attract CPF contributions. And that the median annual salary should at least be the local qualifying salary of $1,600 a month. The defense, senior minister of state for defense, Heng Chi Hao, replied saying that national service is a duty rather than a form of employment, and that the allowance is always regularly reviewed, and the whole goal is to support the basic upkeep of NSFs.
Yeah.
And that it has been revised 4 times in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
So basically saying a hard no to Gerald Giam's suggestion.
And I think it's worth quoting him in his reply to Gerald Giam, where he said, "For whom are we defending this country, right?
For whom?"
So he asked,
Terrence?
Is it for the Ministry of Defense? For the Singapore Armed Forces? No, it's for each and every Singaporean for now and for the future. Yeah.
Mm, so why do you want to quote that?
Because that's an interesting question, right? To ask, to ask if you are defending Singapore for Singaporeans, do you deserve to be paid more, right?
Mm.
And I think that's the crux of the debate. Whereas, so my reading between his lines, what he's saying is that because the idea is that you are defending your loved ones and your neighbors, so it shouldn't be about money, right?
And it shouldn't be seen as employment. You are doing your duty.
Yeah, yeah. Whereas you're not being employed by SAF or employed by Ministry of Defense or whatnot, right?
Mm.
You are, I mean, not say employed, but you are doing this for Singaporeans.
Mm.
Your mother, your father, your grandfather, your grandmother, your future kids or so. So you should not think about money in that way, right? But yeah, what do you think of this debate about it?
Wow, this one is multifaceted, man. Because on one hand, it's not say people are making the choice to want to do national service.
Correct.
It is compulsory.
Yeah.
Right? If it is a sign-up thing where you know what you're getting into, like just an allowance, and you still do it, then that is really duty.
Yeah.
In this case, I honestly wouldn't say it's duty. You can argue philosophically, but to the individual doing NS,
yeah.
Do you really wake up every day, Terrence, and say, I'm doing my duty to defend Singapore during NS?
No, like, obviously not.
Right. Yeah. You can understand the rationale, but you don't feel it. Like, it feels like, okay, you can't quit.
Mm.
So it's not really a job.
Yeah.
But I get where Gerald Giam is coming from. But now, I don't know what the median salary for NS men is. It's definitely not anywhere close to 1,600.
Yeah.
So yeah, like, I think this one, I don't know, man. Of course, an increase would be helpful. I don't know, man.
An interesting fact is that we just last year, Taiwan quadrupled its pay for conscripts. At the same time, also increasing the conscription period from 4 months to 1 year, right?
Mm.
But I guess in light of everything going on with
China,
tensions over the strait and all, yeah, they've actually increased the amount of time that the conscripts have to serve, but have also quadrupled what they're being paid, which is closer to 1,152 Sing dollars a month. Currently, it's about one quarter of that.
For 4 months.
For monthly.
It's like that monthly for 4 months. Now they are quadrupling it monthly for 1 year.
Yeah. So the new requirement, this 1 year requirement is starting in 2024, this year, and will affect all Taiwanese males born on and after January 1st, 2005. Yeah, so 19 years old. Yeah. But yeah, so I guess off the back of that, it kind of makes you, because the best way to think about this, also one of the ways to think about this is also what are other countries that are conscripting soldiers doing, right?
Mm.
And Taiwan being maybe the closest to us that does conscription, right?
Mm.
Of course, you don't count other places like Israel or South Korea and all that, because those also have very tense relations with their neighbors, right?
So, yeah.
But Taiwan, at least, is the closest to us in terms of geographically, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, comes down to a fundamental thing, which I think Gerald Giam asked also, right? Is one thing to serve your nation and one thing to, just be paid higher than subsistence. Are those mutually exclusive? Does it really mean that if you serve your nation, you shouldn't be paid a salary, so to speak? Because some people did point out, obviously, I mean, isn't when like a SAF regular, isn't he doing that? Isn't he serving his nation and also being paid as an employee, right?
Mm.
So why is it that they can have that dichotomy, but then a conscripted soldier can't, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, just preliminarily Googling what the national average salary for an SNF or NSF or median salary is, apparently it's about 700 plus.
Yeah.
I guess because majority of people in NS are more recruits or not in leadership positions. But I mean, the more we talk about it, the more it feels like actually, having a higher salary for NS men, especially...
Allowance.
In this day and age, I think it's definitely a worthwhile question being asked, because when we were going to NS, 20 fucking years ago, the cost of living didn't seem as high on average as it is now, so, and I think salaries and allowances have not gone up as quickly in accordance with the rising cost.
Yeah.
So in this case, I think it's a worthwhile question being asked, And the response, is a duty, not employment, also not the best response,
Correct. Yeah.
Because you don't have a choice, and it's literally for a guy. It's 2 years that you are not able to work in the workforce or chart your own path and get your own salary.
Yeah. Because, I mean, online commentators have rightly pointed out that isn't it the same for members of parliament also? Aren't you also doing this because you love your country, right? So how is it that your allowance is multiples, 200 times? Is it 200 times of... Yeah, 200 times, right? Yeah.
If fucking ridiculous multiple.
Yeah. 20 times, whatever NS man earns, right?
And the rationale is that because they have given up the private path, right?
No, they haven't. Remember being an MP, You don't have, yeah, it's not true, a full-time job. And you're getting an allowance. You're not getting a salary as an MP. Don't forget, yeah. So, yeah, people have asked, like, if you can say that about soldiers, like, who, for whom are you defending this country? Then why do you ask MPs, for whom are you, going, you know, going to parliament for, you know? Are you going to parliament for, you know, the sake of the government? Are you going to parliament because someone's paying to do? No, you're going there because you're serving the people, right?
Mm.
So, yeah, I do agree that as much as they've revised the salaries, it has not been revised by much, right? It's definitely not kept up with inflation either, right?
Mm.
So, I think young people already are entering a very, you know, an economy that's quite uncertain and also going forward quite challenging, right? Having to deal with AI and everything also. So maybe putting them in a slightly better, less disadvantaged position when they come out of the army might be also be good for our own general economy also, right?
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, but for you, like if, let's say if you were starting out again, you know, like you're a young person now entering army and all that, and that's your salary, $700 a month. Do you think that's livable or not? Because considering that all your meals can be taken care of mostly.
I mean, it's livable. I think it's livable. You think about it, when you are studying, you're not earning anything and you're getting by.
Yeah.
Of course, that one you might be getting allowance from your family or or working part-time. So I think $700 is going to NS where I assume most people still living at home. It's livable. It's livable.
Spoken from your position of privilege.
Hey, getting dude, allowance and all. Dude, when I was went to NS and all, like the it was definitely livable, and my family is by no means wealthy or anything.
No, but not even by wealth. There are some people who are they actually AWOL and everything to go and work to provide for their families, their young families or something.
Young families,
So there are those people like that we maybe don't see very often, you know, or don't hear about these stories very often. But they do exist, and a lot of times, you know, being in a unit and all that, actually a lot of these AWOL stories are these kind of things. Financial difficulties by the family, or they have to go and take care of something for the family that would otherwise be impossible for their, you know, their older mother or older father to take care of themselves. So it is, I mean, I of course definitely didn't have to go through those circumstances, but I knew of these circumstances because in my unit and stuff, there were these stories.
Same.
You know, people who went AWOL to go and sell stuff at Pasar Malam, that kind of thing, to make ends meet, right? So yeah, it's a real issue for these people. And I felt like Heng's answer was just a bit like a bit too dismissive, right? A bit too like the same old standard kind of like heartless kind of answer that you would give, you know, not considering what younger people are going through today.
But at the same time, I mean, like then it becomes like, because the people with young families, you know, it's still like, I wouldn't assume that's the majority, right? There's always going to be difficulty in coming up with a policy where it applies to everyone fairly, right? So I think there's a lot more to consider there, and whether there can be more exceptions to the rule that are considered. But I agree that his response feels like in this day and age, it's tough to stomach.
And I mean, if anything, the Singapore government is damn good at coming up with formulas for things that are hard to quantify, right?
Fucking good.
I think Gerald Gam already suggesting things like median salaries and, you know, comparing it to local qualifying salaries. So I'm sure something can be worked out if there was the political will to make it happen.
And median salary is not saying that everybody gets 1,600.
Yeah.
Right, it's the median salary.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's a good question to ask, and kudos to Gerald Giam for asking it.
Yeah, but the answer was like lacking.
For whom are we defending this country, Terrence? Next time also, like, if a network we are working with, we ask for more budget to make a TV show and they say no, they'll be like, for whom are we making this show? Is it for you or is it the future of Singapore?
Passion made possible.
Passion made possible.
Yep.
Yeah, man.
But that's why maybe next time the we can do other ways to also show appreciation for NS men, right? Let's say we know Taylor Swift is coming for 6 days of concert. Day 7 of a concert is open to all NS men. Yeah. Currently serving NSFs only. They come in and they fill 60,000 seats in the stadium to appreciate our soldiers. It's like they have those performances where you know, they do it in Iraq and everything, yeah, right? Back then, like the wrestlers or whatever, they go there and perform for soldiers, right?
Yeah.
We don't have that in Singapore, yeah, right?
True.
Maybe that's how we do it.
It might reach a point where, you know, the government vouchers, right? You got CDC vouchers you can use at groceries, other shops and concerts. You get one concert voucher every year that you can just go for any concert.
Yeah. But that one will be for everyone, right?
For everyone.
I'm saying NS men.
No, then you can have specific NS men.
Additional ones.
But you know, just now when you were talking about the concert, one thing that I forgot to mention was, over the past weekend, I think Rihanna performed at the wedding of one of the children of the Ambani family in India.
Oh, okay.
And apparently got paid $9 million for one night.
Wow.
Rihanna.
Wow.
For Indian wedding. Perform at an Indian wedding.
Yeah.
But he's worth 114 billion, so I guess 9 million is like some change.
But I suppose that wasn't open to the public.
Correct. It's the Indian wedding for the Ambanis.
Wow.
But yeah, crazy. Man.
But yeah.
Cool, man.
Speaking of happy occasions, what is your one show comment?
My one show comment was on Reddit with regards to our podcast we did with Jackie.
Mm.
And I mean, it like a lot of people wrote like long responses, but one comment that was very adamant about how much they disagree with a lot that was discussed came from Story Returns. Yeah. Basically, the first line is, I disagree with a lot of what was discussed with regard to the Israel-Hamas slides. Disagreeing with some of the things we or Jackie said about how this topic shouldn't be discussed because the kids are too young to get it. And they say, you know, we severely underestimated the intellect of our children. Slides were not perfect, especially when they only quoted ST. But what if the lesson had simply been consider alternative narratives from respectable sources and understand where they are coming from and have the class, basically have the class be more focused on the thematic stuff lah. But
yeah,
they were also pointing out that, you know, like, also they had issue with the people who found issue with the slides, which I also disagree. But I always enjoy reading comments with or from people who disagree so strongly about what we discussed lah. They were not talking in a trolley way. Yeah. They at least put out their thoughts. Yeah. And I appreciate that lah. Yeah. For you?
Yeah. That one was a touchy topic, so definitely they'll be very angry. I mean, heated responses, right? Angry. Mine is a comment on YouTube about our recent episode where we talked to Mitani. Hey Lila 27 said that she listened to this episode on Spotify and now re-listening or re-watching on YouTube. Yes, this episode was that refreshing that I'm hearing it for a second time. As a minority Singapore journalist living overseas and working for a non-Singaporean international news broadcaster, she relates to many things that Shibani spoke about, especially the part about having foreign local perspective of Singapore and national issues. I love what she says about our role as journalists. You know, we got to stick to factual and rigorous reporting. And as long as we stick to that, we can stand proud of our work. Singapore can't stay ignorant to alternative journalistic viewpoints forever, lest we stay in this bubble that everything is okay and not to fix what is broken. The more things are swept under the rug, the more people are brought up unhappiness, and that will eventually reach a boiling point. So yeah, you know, journalists, Singaporean journalists working overseas, inspired by that conversation with Shibani.
Power.
Yeah.
Power, Shibani Mitani.
Yeah, welcome. Thank you for listening to this podcast twice.
That
particular episode twice.
Cool. And what's your one show thing, man?
My one show thing is something that came out recently and all the tech channels are all over it. It's actually a new 3D printed basketball that is now being sold by Wilson Basketball. You know Wilson, they're very famous for their orange basketballs that are used by NBA and all, right? Now they've created a $2,500 airless basketball. That's essentially it's 3D printed, But the material and everything is very different. But supposedly it gives as good a feel as like a traditional basketballer. But why I encourage people to watch the video is because the bounce that it makes is pretty, it just, your mind just kind of like reacts differently when you see, when you hear how it bounces. Like, it doesn't bounce like a typical basketball or football. It has that same, apparently it has that same height. It is able to bounce at the same levels and have the same tension and texture. Like.
But you, well, what's so weird about the bounce?
It's just silent. It's silent. So I'm trying to imagine, yeah, if you're playing basketball and you cannot hear the ball bouncing or where, generally where it's bouncing your feet, does that change how you move also, like, you know? So it's quite interesting. I just like, when I watched it, my mind was quite like, eh, it's so weird to see the thing bouncing, but you don't hear anything. Like.
Oh, yeah. That's cool. Because I think a few months ago, there was this YouTuber who does basketball commentary that he came out with a silent basketball. I don't think it's 3D printed.
Okay, okay.
But he was selling it to people who wanted to still practice dribbling at home.
Like. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So this one's like $2,500 because it's produced in, I think, only 200. I think only.
But the weight of it, similar?
I'm not sure about the weight of it, but yeah, but probably has to be about the same. Because if not, if there's a standard, right, when you play basketball, supposedly.
But it's a prototype, lah.
Hey, sorry, there'll only be 75 of these sold.
But it's a prototype, lah.
No, it's being sold.
Yeah, being sold, but it's not going to be like, is it kind of like, are they, is this what they see the future or what?
Possibly. This is Gen 1 only, what, remember? Oh. It's like how,
but the goal for why they did it was, why?
Airless, what? You never have to pump your basketball ever again. Less noisy, airless. Why not, you know? It's like, I'm sure football at some point they'll think of something like that also.
Right. I mean, there has never been any talk of like an airless football.
But footballs have evolved. Right? Like they put chips in them and everything. So, so eventually, maybe it'll be something more sustainable. So you have one ball that lasts a whole lifetime. But yeah, but this will most likely be a collector's item, like, if anything. Yeah, because I can't imagine the texture being exactly the same as a normal basketball, given all the holes, all of it and everything.
Yeah. Wow, that's crazy.
It's quite mind-blowing.
Cool.
How about you?
My one shock thing is a video released by Matt Davella, who's quite a popular YouTuber, 3.8 million subscribers, and has a documentary on Netflix called Minimalism.
Yeah.
And kind of like became famous on YouTube for very cinematic shots talking about personal development and productivity and all that. So recently, I think a few months ago, he kind of said that, you know, he's downsizing his team to just himself to go back to the art of like creating videos that he enjoys. And his latest video is titled "I Tried Powerlifting for 100 Days." And it's a 28 minute video, but I watched it and it was fucking great. It's just, it's a very easy watch, and like he managed to train with one of the best strength coaches in the world, but just talk through his journey. And it's just an example of like, wow, this is a great YouTube video. Nicely shot, personal story. And just 28 minutes flew by, lah.
Yeah.
So I thought, hey, this guy is good, lah. He's like perfect for YouTube, lah.
Yeah. There's a lot. I've been watching a lot of things about how the recent wave of YouTubers leaving the platform has been
burning out.
In some ways, his is like, he doesn't want to have to manage a team anymore, like, right? Just stick to what he's doing on YouTube, alone. So I respect someone who does that, lah. Because it's so easy to, like, you get big on YouTube and then you start building a team around it. Then after you realize, like, you spend half your time managing rather than actually creating content. And then just giving up entirely, which is what a lot of YouTubers have done recently.
So it's cool, nice video.
Cool.
Cool, man.
Will the next podcast still be in the midst of Taylor Swift week?
Next podcast is Yalabat 500.
Oh, yes. Our Yalabat 500 episode.
Yes.
It's going to be out, yes. For those who are still listening,
Fuck, we should have said it at the start.
We should have said it at the start. Damn it. But we did allude a little bit, but that was during the Taylor Swift.
What is happening on the 500th episode, Terrence?
We are going on a trishaw around... We went on a trishaw around the district of Joo-Chiat and recorded the first ever podcast on a trishaw in the world, I believe.
Yeah, in the world. It's true.
Yeah.
In the world.
First and only. And you can't even sit trishaws in Singapore anymore.
You cannot. And you'll be coming out on Wednesday. the 6th of March.
Yeah.
Along with the launch of our new website.
Yes.
ministryoffunny.com.
Yeah.
Where we'll share more details on that. La.
Yeah.
Cool.
So, yeah, do check it out come Wednesday. La.
Yeah, man. Awesome. And remember, if you enjoyed this podcast, please share it with at least one other person. Follow us on social media. Subscribe. And if you want to work with us, where should they email, Terrence?
contact@ministryoffunny.com.
Hell yeah, man.
Yeah.
Awesome, everybody. Thanks, and talk to y'all soon.